motor neuron is a disease. It has no rules. It has no timelines, and it has no mercy. And it affects different people in different ways. There's no set, this is going to happen, and then that is going to happen, and then the next is going to happen.
When they're in the wheelchair, they can't go to the toilet, they can't dress themselves, they can't turn in the bed, they can't put on their socks, they can't have a bowl of cornflakes, they can't have a cup of tea, can't brush their teeth. So, like, the things you take for granted in life, they're all wiped out.
Welcome to The Gab, a fortnightly podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thank you for clicking and downloading. This is episode 6. For a generation, Charlie Bird brought us hard-hitting news as a journalist on RTE. Little did we realise in a recent Late Late Show appearance, he was going to give us one more devastating story. This one was different. It was personal. His diagnosis of motor neuron disease struck a chord and sent an empathetic shockwave throughout the country he so deeply loves. The man's voice, which was instrumental to his reporting, was under threat of being no more. Upon announcement of his wishes to climb Kirkpatrick, the nation decided to rein in behind him. Charlie is on an uphill battle. And in true Irish fashion, we are going to travel a part of that journey with him on April the 2nd. Carla Quinn and Barry McCabe have both travelled the MND road with loved ones. They are also two driving forces behind the Slievaughty and Knockmah climbs. Listen to their stories. Thank you to Deputy Kieran Cannon for his contribution.
Good evening, everybody, and you're very welcome to the beautiful Lochrea Hotel and Spa for this evening's chat. It's all to do, of course, with the climb for Charlie, and we'll talk about that over the next little while. Thanks a million to, as I said, the hotel here, and for Supermax, proud sponsors of the climb as well. Over 400 people with motor neuron disease in Ireland as we speak as well. Over 150 people being diagnosed each and every year. So you can well imagine the importance of this. And the climb for Charlie, of course, is with PIETA and with the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association, which we're going to concentrate on today as well. In the room, I have Carla Quinn. Carla, thanks a lot for joining us today. She's the driving force behind the Slievaughty climb for Charlie, along with Kieran Cannon. He's on the phone, so we'll have a little chat with him in a few moments. And Barry McCabe, son of Paddy McCabe, who lost his fight with MND as well, and an instrumental part of the Knockmah climb that'll be happening on the 2nd of April. It's hard to believe that it's only less than 2 weeks now to the climb, but believe me, everybody's getting very much behind this. I'll start off with you, Carla. Thanks very much indeed, first of all, for joining us for the chat.
Well, thank you for having me.
Not at all. Kieran was telling me along the line that you got in touch with him and you had a chat with him about the whole idea of doing the climb. But that Friday night, I'm sure you, along with everybody else, was sitting down watching the Late Late Show, watching Charlie Bird going through the early stages, pretty much, of MND. And I think the empathy that kicked in across the country with one of, I suppose, the Irish icons that has been on our TVs over the years, of course, and the correspondent, Charlie Bird. What did you feel that night, first of all, when you watched it?
I suppose our family lost our mother to this disease, and when I saw Charlie and his family and the dog on the show, and he was facing this incredibly tough challenge, and he had it with such dignity, but also wanting to make a difference to help others with the time that they had and he had, it just made sense to me to, God, you know, why don't we organise something ourselves? So I emailed or text messaged Kieran Cannon, and he goes, I said, you know, what do we think? You know, there's beautiful Slievaughty Mountains out the way. We could organise a walk. We could do something. Kieran goes, thinking the same lines with you 100%. Would you mind if I sent out a message on Facebook tonight? And the response was just phenomenal. It was just like a couple hundred people straight away commented, yeah, we're on board. And what was quite overwhelming as well was that the amount of people that responded just in that small Facebook page of people who have lost people to motor neuron or know people that are suffering from motor neuron, and they wanted to make a difference, because motor neuron is a disease. It has no rules. It has no timelines, and it has no mercy. And it affects different people in different ways. There's no set, this is going to happen, and then that is going to happen, and then the next is going to happen. So I suppose this walk really is about walking in solidarity for those struggling with illness, all illnesses, not just motor neuron, and people who struggle with mental health, especially over the last number of years with COVID and everything like that. And mental health used to be a terrible taboo subject. It wasn't talked about. We're now, thankfully, we're coming around to understand that people need help and they need to know that the help is there. And the HSC is there and everything like that, but, you know, they're overwhelmed. So it's the likes of the amazing people in PAETA and Motor Neuron and Galway COPE and Cancer Care West, and we could go on. And these are people who work there, and I've met a number of them. And they're people that it's not a job to them. They're genuine. They want to make a difference. It's from their heart. I'm just in awe of the response that we've got from that one Facebook post. So it's been amazing.
Yeah, but I think it was phenomenal that night. I remember sitting down watching it myself, and more than everybody else, a tear came to our eye because we remember Charlie for the guy that was out and about, that was, you know, corresponding no matter where he was, the top of a hill himself or down in a bunker, whatever the case may be, he was there. And he was that kind of national icon. To see him going through a difficult patch and probably a vulnerable patch in his life, I think we can all empathise with that there was a lot of vulnerability that night as well.
What made me cry was the fact that he said, "I cry every day."
Yeah, yeah.
I found that so moving, and I have great admiration that he was willing to share that with people.
And I think the very important part of that, even as you speak about that now at the moment, is he's a man who pretty much said that he cried, right? And that's another side of the mental health side of things as well. Because it was, as you said, the taboo thing. If a man turned around years ago and said, "I cried last night," or "I cried today," they'd be kind of looking, you know, they'd be looking at you wondering what's going on. But the good thing about it now is it's important to tell people. It's important to know that the infrastructure is in place to help. And it's important to go and get help. You need to make that first step.
And know there's someone always there to listen that is non-judgmental.
Yeah, that's very important. About your mom, first of all. Tell me a little bit about her and the early signs of MND.
Oh, God, I miss her so much. She was an amazing person, and she dedicated her whole life to myself and my sister, Naomi. I suppose what happened first, she was in 1994, she started to trip.
Okay.
She started to fall and trip a little bit. And we got it further investigated, and sadly, my father died suddenly in 1995, and she was then brought up to Beaumont and diagnosed with motor neuron disease. And 6 months later, and it was only myself and my sister. I was 23 and Naomi was 21.
You were young.
Yeah, we were young, but you just get on with it and you do what you have to do. We were lucky, I was lucky that I built a small house, and my sister, she was amazing, and she gave up her college to care for Mom because we couldn't imagine her going into a home or a hospital. So, again, going back to Motor Neuron Disease Association, at that time it was Orla Hardiman was amazing. You had Etna Frost, who was the foundation of Motor Neuron. And at that time they only had one nurse and two people in the office, but still they were able to supply us with a hospital bed, a proper air mattress, a good wheelchair, an electric wheelchair so she could go out. I live up in Close Token, Lochray, so it's a lovely walk, so that she could go out and walk around. We got a shower, a chair for the shower, a hoist, a sling, everything that we needed, even though people thought motor neuron, they didn't understand what it was. They didn't know. They thought it was MS. People didn't realise what it was. And we are so grateful to motor neuron. And Mom was so grateful. But my mother, I have to say, was a very religious person. And she took this illness on, can I say, as a blessing.
Okay.
She said, how blessed am I that I should be given this cross?
Okay.
So she touched many people in the way that she dealt with her illness, and all her family are even today in awe of the way that she accepted.
Yeah, she had a lot of inner strength.
Her terminal illness. Yeah, she was amazing.
So her acceptance was immediate, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And not everybody are lucky enough to have that, you know.
And obviously as time moved on with different nerves within the body collapsing, as we all know, how was she, or what was the situation with her physical being right up to the time that she passed on? How did it transpire?
Okay, so firstly, Mom lost power in her left leg.
Okay.
And then she lost power in her right leg, so then she went into a wheelchair. She was funny, though, because she didn't want to give up driving her car. She loved driving her car. And she used to lift her leg up onto the clutch and press the clutch down because she didn't have food, but she was stubborn like that. And then she lost, so she was able to go around in the wheelchair in the house and stuff like that, but then her legs to go, and then her hands started to go.
Okay.
So it was her hands and her arms, and it was again the left, and then the right went, and the right arm.
Mm.
So then at that stage she had to be lifted or carried everywhere or hoisted places. Her neck then went, her head then went.
Okay. And then obviously things started to unfortunately.
Her voice was pretty much gone, but Naomi and I knew by the look in her eyes, and we had this kind of a communication.
An understanding,
An understanding, yeah. Because even if she had to go into hospital, she had to go into a hospital one time for tummy issues. And it was like the nurse was moving her and she was panicking. I was going, no, don't do that. You know, you know your mom, you know the person. And as I said, we were so blessed that we could give that time back to her because she gave so much to us.
Did she experience any kind of anger along the line that her independence was being pretty much taken, stolen, if you want to call it that?
I wouldn't say anger, but I'd say frustration. Mm-hmm. A little bit. But she was an amazing person where she would thank us for minding her.
Mm.
I'm not going to go into details,
yeah,
you know, but when you have a body lying there in a bed sores, not able. My sister used to do massage on her and everything like that. No, she never had anger.
Okay.
She had frustration, and I think she had heartbreak for us.
Yeah.
That she wasn't going to be there for us to see us married, to see her grandkids. That she wasn't going to be able to there to be with us. That, I think, was the biggest loss.
Of course. Now, it obviously is also known as the 1,000-day disease, pretty much, that is just over 3 years as such. How long, from the start to the end, did Mom pass on? What was the time frame?
Yeah, so she was diagnosed in February 1995 and she died in January 1999.
Okay, right, okay. So we can see that the time frame is there, yeah. As we know, then there's completely different sides to it, where you have the likes of Stephen Hawking, who passed away from it, but he was 55 years with it. So it just shows the difference. Even Colin Murray, the sports commentator and the sports journalist with the RTE over the years, you know, he was just over the 3 years. So it just shows the difference and what it can do. He passed away back in 2013, I think. Kieran, I'll just go to you for a moment. Thanks a lot for joining us on the phone today.
No You're very welcome, Mona. Very welcome.
Thank you. Now, you've obviously heard Carla there and her story and her situation. And she contacted you, and being the community activist that you are, full of energy, you got involved straight away.
Yes, and thanks to Carla for outlining her story so eloquently. And, you know, I mean, none of us, we can all look from the outside in terms of trying to determine how any family deals with this disease. But to hear it from firsthand from Carla is pretty powerful. And, you know, it just gives us all, I suppose, the kind of the, as you said, the energy and the ambition to support families as best we can who are finding themselves on this very, very same journey. Niamh and I were watching the TV that night, watching Charlie Bird. And it was extraordinary in that, you know, the thing that is most unique about Charlie is his voice. And it was the very first thing that motor neuron disease began to affect from the very early stages of his illness. So that, I thought, was just, you know, so challenging for him, because it was he spent his whole life communicating, engaging with people, telling stories from home and abroad of terror and strife in so many different locations. It was his method of telling his story to the world, and that was the first thing that was taken from him. So, you know, it was particularly moving. And even I said, look, you know, he's going to be climbing Crowpatrick on that day. Surely we can organise an event locally. And he put out the call that evening himself to do exactly that, if people would organise an event. So, and within, I suppose, 15 minutes of having that conversation with Niamh, Carla messaged me on Facebook. And she said, she told me not as much detail, but the story of losing her mum to the disease, and asking me would I work with her in organising an event in this part of the world where we are here in South Galway. And I said, of course, Carla, of course, I'd be more than happy to do that. So that's essentially how it came about. She's a dynamo herself, has had so many wonderful ideas how to make the event a success, has been engaging with sponsors, has been doing a lot of extraordinary work in the background. And we're now, hopefully, as you say, less than 2 weeks away from what will be. And you're right to use the word community, Ronan, because that's essentially what it is. It's community from a different number of different perspectives. First of all, it's those of us the husband of an aunt of mine died from motor neuron disease over 30 years ago now. And again, for us as a family, it was the first time we'd ever heard of this disease. And when we put up that Facebook post that night, people who I cycle with every Sunday, you know, one or two of them said, well, actually, I lost my father, I lost my mother. And all of a sudden, all of these people that we meet on the street every day came out of the woodwork to say, I lost a loved one to motor neuron disease. And there was that emerging sense of community that night. And I suppose what this is essentially about is the community of Galway coming together to support those families, support in particular the Motor Neuron Disease Association, which does fantastic work in supporting those families who find themselves facing up to just an unprecedented, unfathomable challenge, literally negotiating in the darkness for the first couple of days and weeks, not knowing really where this disease is going to take them and their loved ones. And what they do in that organisation is just astounding. So it was, I suppose, a way of us as a community saying to those families, those who are affected by it right now, as you said, there are about 350 or 60 Irish families dealing with motor neuron disease right now, and as there are all year round. And our way of saying, we're here. We're going to walk with you. We're going to walk with Charlie Bird, and we're going to ensure that organisation in particular has the resources that it needs and deserves to continue offering this kind of support.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that you, as we were talking about community there, it's amazing how Ireland, no more than now at the moment, and we're getting behind and looking after refugees within the country for, you know, from Ukraine and all that. We just have that sense of national community as well.
We do. And I think it's quite unique, this Irish characteristic. And, you know, I think it goes back to the old tradition of the mehel. I know when I was growing up in rural Kilmardaley, when my granny or granddad on the farm, which is about 50 yards down the road from me, they'd be cutting the hay or saving the hay or just saving the corn, or maybe, I don't know, whatever they were doing, and they needed help. It was almost like this kind of subliminal kind of telepathic thing happening, where all of a sudden all the neighbours would just turn up. And the work would be done. And then a few weeks later, another neighbour, maybe, you know, half a mile over the road, would be in the same situation, and all of a sudden the neighbours would turn up again. So I think that's somehow deeply embedded in our sense of what it means to be Irish. And I think we saw that, as you said, we saw it during the pandemic.
Yeah.
When so many people said, you know, just what do I need and how can I help? And we saw all of our GAA clubs in particular putting out calls for assistance, making sure that elderly people living on their own were cared for and nurtured, and whatever deliveries or whatever they needed, they got them. And we're seeing it again now. You know, 20,000 families already pledging their homes to accommodate Ukrainian refugees. I think this is the best of who we are, and I think that is the spirit of the Mehl alive and well in the 21st century. And I think that's something we should be very, I suppose, ambitious about preserving and cherishing for the future. It's part of who we are. It stretches right back through the generations, and hopefully it will continue for many generations to come.
It sure will. As my grandmother used to say years ago, many hands make light work. And exactly. I think that's exactly the way it is. And if we all throw a hand in, we'll definitely help as much as we can. I knew that you were extremely, well, you're always very serious about community stuff anyway, Kieran, but I knew the morning, that Saturday morning, I think it was around the 8th of January, when I spotted that you changed the picture on your Facebook page and it changed the climb for Charlie. I knew that you had something in mind and something big in mind. And that's why I contacted you at the time. I think you might have remembered the message I sent you at the time. I said, let's get on board and let's do this. And you did.
Thank you so much, Roman, for doing that. Because, again, you are somebody who has a voice in across the whole county of Galway, a voice that people trust, a voice that resonates with people, and you use it with great skill every day. And to have somebody, you know, with that voice advocating for these families and for this event is of immense help to us. We've been so, and again, you know, when Carla and I went looking for a place to have this, we said we'd head for the beautiful Slieve-Ochty Mountains and the place I call the capital, which is the beautiful town of Woodford. And there's a fantastic GAA club there, Tommy Larkin's GAA club, who epitomise what it means to be a strong, powerful community. We said to them, "Would you mind if we hosted the event in your grounds? Because we, you know, we need that kind of space to assemble people." So they said, "Yes. Where do we sign up?" Just like you said, Ronan. So again, it was just a case of putting out the call, people rolling up their sleeves and saying, "I want to be involved. We want to be involved. This is the best of who we are, you know, so let's get it done."
Well, that's fantastic. Now, the I Donate, obviously, to raise money as well. We'll talk about that. Will I ask Carla about that, or are you willing to have a chat about that, Kieran?
Well, yeah, I mean, what happens then is Charlie Bird himself and the people immediately around him, they set up what you might describe as a global I Donate page for the whole fundraising, national fundraising endeavour. And then when we then registered our event, the Slieve-Ochty event, we then created a subset of that. So it's very simple. You just go in and register the event, and the iDonate software allows you to create your own pipeline of fundraising into the national effort. So we have set a target of ourselves there for €10,000. It's a big target. Hopefully we'll meet it. But that literally, so every time anybody makes a donation right now, that is automatically, every cent of that is going straight into the Charlie Bird National fundraising effort, and ultimately to those two organisations, the IMNDA and PAETA. So there's going to be no kind of administrative overheads or any other kind of costs being drawn from that. All of that money, every cent that we all raise nationally, is going straight to the work of those two fantastic organisations.
Excellent. And let's put it this way, you have got a situation set up as well. Is it an Eventbrite page for people to register?
Yes. So if anybody's looking to do the climb with Charlie, the Slieve-Ochty version, there's a Facebook page there now. It's very easy to find it. And then, so that we can kind of, because we're working with the Gardaí, we're working with the Loughrea Civil Defence, who've been very supportive as well. We're obviously working with Tommy Larkin's GA Club in making sure that we have the necessary resources to make sure this is an enjoyable and safe event for everyone. So in order for us to keep track of the numbers, we're asking people, there's no cost. You just go on there again on the Facebook page and just register. Say, here's my name is X. I want to be part of this event on the day. Yeah. And it allows us to keep track then of the numbers. So that's just what we're asking people to do.
Excellent.
And we're also very, very thankful to Fergal Healy and the Galway County Minor Hurling Team. Fergal, again, messaged me on Facebook about 2 weeks ago and said, look, all of our young hurlers here, they want to be involved in this, as do their families. They receive incredible support from across Galway communities all year round. And they want to give something back as well. So that's it. So we're looking forward to having all of the minor panel joining us on the day as well. So it'll
that's
be
wonderful.
A particularly special element of the event.
Well, that's great. And thanks a lot for that, Kieran, because I'm hoping to do, can you believe it, the two climbs. We'll be moving on to Knockma very, very shortly, because I have Barry McCabe here beside me as well. And Carla just wants to
want to make a clarification. So, guys, the Facebook page, if you search for Climb with Charlie Sleeve Aughey, that'll be there, and your I Donate page link will be there, and your Eventbrite donation registration will be there also. So it's Facebook page, Climb with Charlie Sleeve Aughey.
Lovely. Thanks a lot for that. Kieran, thank you very much indeed, and thanks a lot for taking the time to have a chat with us this evening. I know you're very busy.
Not at all, Ronan. Thanks for your support.
Right. Barry, as I said, I'll be doing the climb up in Sleeve Aughey, but I'll also, can you believe it, going down your neck of the woods, down closer to my home as well, because obviously we're not a million miles away from each other, the Currafin, Turlochmore, kind of Carla Strand area. Barry, thanks a lot for taking the time for having a chat with us today.
No problem, Ronan.
Now, obviously, MND means a lot to you. It means a lot to your family because you have experienced MND in your family. Tell me a little bit about, and a smile comes to my face when I mention Paddy McCabe. He was a wonderful character, great fun, great crack, wonderful at his job. He was a very, very gifted upholsterer, as we know, throughout the years, and just a great community activist too, and a great GAA man. So tell us a bit about Dad.
I suppose he was diagnosed in October 11. I suppose how it came about was, I suppose, similar to Carla's story there. He was tripping a bit, but took no notice, like, it was what it was, you know, at the time. So he got a few tests done, and there was fluid in the spine, and that kind of, he was sound for a while. Then they thought it was MS. Then they mentioned motor neuron, but I suppose at the time, we didn't know what motor neuron was, you know. So eventually, we were dealing with, I suppose, a man called Dr. Lynch in Galway. It was top man, and then I suppose we were going up to Orla Hardiman in Beaumont Hospital. Another lady and a half, you know, just an unbelievable woman, you know. So she went through after with us, and I suppose the whole no punches, and they tell you how it is, you know, it's you have more neuron disease, you know. So at the initial time, I suppose, I didn't know what it was. So my father wouldn't be that savvy with iPhones or anything like that, like, you know. So I did a bit of Googling, and he said, they told him, like, it was terminal in 3 to 5 years. But we didn't really know how to get into it. So I suppose then there was a motor neuron group in Galway. It was actually in the Clayton Hotel. We actually went to that one Saturday, but he was only tripping and he had no really symptoms, but I suppose a lot of people that were there had symptoms that further on, you know, severe. So and he was like wondering what's going on here, like, you know. So we actually didn't go back to him because he was oblivious to what was going on. So, like, obviously I was aware because I suppose I Googled it and I knew everything, kind of, as Carla said, like, it's not this is going to happen today and tomorrow and the next day. Different things happen at different stages, you know. So we kind of kept away from that, and I suppose as he was progressing then, I suppose he started losing the power in the legs. The legs kind of went first, and I suppose then we got the wheelchair. I suppose there's a few bits done with the house, and I suppose I have to thank Sean Kenny, he's our local man there. He did a lot of work for us, you know. So that was done, I suppose. It didn't really faze him at the start, you know. And I suppose if anyone asked him, how are you feeling? He used to always say, life is for living, my friend, you know. He was always having this leg, you know. So it's... I suppose then going down, I suppose when he started kind of progressing a bit worse, I suppose he never lost the character, you know. He was always up for the crack, and I suppose even though he's a character sandman through and through, his local was Cannons and Beauclair, and I suppose there was a crew of them there at the round table, they called them, probably 50-50.
the knights at the round table, huh?
So the round table crew were probably half character sandman and half Currafin, so it was a good old slag there, but like they looked after him like he was on their own, you know. It was just, they're unbelievable, and I suppose just to mention a few of our neighbours and our friends and I say our family, there's me and my brother there, Darren, you know. So without them, we would have been lost, you know. And like everyone's saying, it's an awful disease to come to your door, but I suppose the worst disease to come to your door is actually the one that you're facing, be it more than your own, be it cancer, be it whatever, you know. It's whatever disease you face, that's the worst you're going to face, you know, regardless of what people say, you know. But it was tough, but I suppose his character kind of defined everything, you know. He's kind of fought the bear around. And like, even I suppose he died on the 24th of August. He died in the hospital in Galway, but we were up
there. Was the time frame, first of all?
Well, I suppose he was diagnosed in October 11.
11,
and he died in August 14.
14, okay.
So, but even I suppose on the 23rd of August 14, Darren was actually playing a junior C game down Currafin. So I actually went down to see the game and came back up to the hospital again. And then Darren came up. But there's a man in there, and I suppose he's passed away since, pro Chum man, Hugh Keaton.
Oh, yeah.
So we were playing Chum the next day in the senior championship, in Currafin. So Hugh being a Chum man, and my father being a through Carson man, they put on a bit. this is a true story now. So they put a bet on that Carasan would beat Chum, and obviously Chum beat Carasan. So Dowler said to him, I put a 10 around with you that Carasan will beat Chum. And Hugh turned around and said to him, I'll put a 10 around with you that I'll live longer than you will. Schlagen, you know. And my father passed away on the Sunday. He was buried on the Wednesday. And the following Wednesday, Hughie passed away. I went to the funeral on the following Wednesday. And the first person I met at the door was obviously Hughie's son. You know Hughie yourself.
Hughie Junior, yeah.
Hughie Junior, yeah. So it just, even to the bitter end, the two of them, the slag was going on, you know. So it's, that's the kind of character he was, you know. He was good crack to be around, do you know what I mean?
He was that, because I had the pleasure of cutting his hair for many years,
yeah,
and the pleasure of having the odd pint with him now and again as well when he floated into Tuam along with yourself and Darren and the crew. When he realised the severity of the situation and he realised that, you know, let's put it this way, that he accepted it, that he had motor neuron, did it change his demeanour?
Well, I suppose towards the latter end, I suppose, he probably never really accepted it until, I suppose, near the end, the last few weeks, I suppose he never lost his voice, which was a good thing because he liked talking, you know, so he was always up for the slag and that kind of stuff. But I suppose the last 2 or 3 weeks, his last appointment in Galway, I suppose, they kind of told him that this was, your voice is going to go, and so that means then he's having trouble to feed. So
yeah,
next thing then is the tube, and he didn't want that route, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I remember going to see him on the, he went into hospital actually on the Monday, Tuesday morning to Merlin to take fluid out of the spine. It's supposed to come out Thursday, and I suppose the rang was on the Thursday. Listen, come in. He's got a bit of a turn, so that transferred him to A&E in Galway, and he died actually that Sunday. You know, so at the very end, he went very fast, which was good for him without being wrong, because he didn't suffer. He never lost his voice, and he went the way he wanted to go. He didn't want to chew fed and this kind of stuff. That's just the character he was, but whether he really accepted it, I don't know. But I think in the last few weeks, he's ready to go, because people would often ask him, how are you feeling, Paddy? And he'd say, listen, I'm like a black ice cream. The ice cream's just melting, but the wrapper is still there. And the wrapper, I suppose, was his brain and his heart, you know. So that's a simple way to describe it, you know.
It is, yeah. He was a wonderful character, as we all know. And obviously, when somebody has a disease within a house, it has a knock-on effect to the family around. You were young. How do you feel it affected you and your bro?
Well, I suppose I was 28, Darren was 27. It really, like, when the chips are down, it really shows who's with you, you know. I suppose, like, we've neighbours there, like, I suppose, for anyone that understands more than your own, I suppose Carla here, she knows more than anyone. Like, when they're in the wheelchair, they can't go to the toilet, they can't dress themselves, they can't turn in the bed, they can't put on their socks, they can't have a bowl of cornflakes, they can't have a cup of tea, they can't brush their teeth.
Yeah.
So, like, the things you take for granted in life, they're all wiped out. Your brain is fine. You can see everything going around you. Apart from the little chair, they can move their fingers to go up and down or go back and forward. But, like, they have a very limited, you know, life, to be fair, you know. And I suppose you're coming down the road and he'll ring you. You know, his phone has to left in a certain spot, and just press the button. Oh. I need to go to the toilet. I knew I wouldn't make it, or Darren knew he wouldn't make it. So, like, we've good neighbours there around us. Say, Ger Kane, Noel Kane, the Bigginses, McHughes. Like, they're all around us there. And say, my Uncle Seamus, my Aunt Mary Maud, my grandmother Phil, she's 79 now. Like, she's, you know, she's fresh as a beetle. Like, she did all them things. Shower room, X, Y, and Z, you know.
So everybody literally reined in around you.
Yeah, just, it's unbelievable people. Like, and I suppose, like, say, Joe Mitch there, his buddy, Sean and Costa, them lads, you know, that as I said, the round table. Like, without them, you're lost, you know. It's just, I suppose, it's how does it define you? It really, you appreciate life, you know. People complain every day about
different things,
immaterial things, you know. But it's, everyone has their own problem. Like, it's not just we're here feeling sorry for ourselves. It's nothing got to do with that. It's just kind of, it's the awareness of more than you're on. I suppose just the fact when Charlie was on the late back in January, I was sitting down with my wife Tara. And I suppose I actually met Tara at my father's 50th birthday.
All right.
3 months before he got diagnosed, you know. So. And then I suppose we used to do a fundraiser in every year in June for his birthday. I have a few pints in Canavan's, a bit of music, and we should get maybe 2,500 on the Friday night. So just going back into the night Charlie was on the telly, that was about 10:30, give or take. And I said to Tara, she said, I'd actually love to do something for him, because, like, it's unbelievable what he's doing. Because when he said the time, I cry every day. And, you know, you kind of smile to yourself, like, my father probably cried every day, but he wasn't the one to show emotion or to show hugging and kissing. That wasn't his thing, you know. So So I slept at night on eight page at 10:30 at night, 10:40, and by 12:30 I went to bed at 2 grand got. So I said, well, listen, let's push this now. So, and the amount of people that rang, said looking for cards and buckets and all this, like, I suppose the additional start we're going to do, say, obviously Crow Patrick, but I suppose in the contact was Jackie Martin there in Morton Urine in Dublin and Jimmy Watts. They said, could you do it local and get a crowd? So they had only 7 or 8 destinations. I think now they've 150 plus. Is that right, Carla? 150. So it just shows, like, it's an unbelievable organisation. And I suppose just to point out now as well, they're only 80% funded by volunteers, you know. I think it's 20% by other funder, but it's 80% is funded by volunteers. So it's unbelievable. Like a simple thing, like a wheelchair. These, I suppose, motorised wheelchairs with the neck braces, the whole lot, they cost about 5 grand. So I said to Tara, I'd love to be able to raise enough to provide one of them to someone's house.
Yeah.
Like the beds, the electric beds, they lift them up and down, the hoists, the shower chairs, all the simple stuff that you take for granted. And they were all provided for towards that time. And without them, we would have been in no man's land, you know.
It must be very frustrating as well, in the sense that with motor neuron disease, as we know, it's not curable, but there are treatments for it. And yet there's still very little known about the actual disease, that connection between the brain and the nervous system. There's very little known about that, Carla. Yeah,
I suppose, but that emphasises more the need to raise money and get research and clinical research and data. That all takes money.
Yeah.
I work in Medtronic and medical device, and you need to have that backing of millions to get the experts in to analyse data, to do clinical trials, to do all the things that need to be done to get a bloody cure for this disease.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Now, Barry, back to a brighter situation. Everybody getting the air into their lungs on the 2nd of April. Tell us about Knockma. I know it very, very well. It's a cracking spot.
Yeah,
it's just a good place.
I suppose it's just off in 17. I suppose you turn off there at Beclare, past the Beclare pitch and say Canavan's Pub. I suppose it's maybe a kilometre, 2 kilometres past Canavan's Pub on the left-hand side. It's in officially the parish of Carlow Strand, you know, but people say it's Beclare, but it's...
We won't argue about that.
But it's a beautiful place, you know. It's probably 4 or 5 kilometres, say from gate to gate, you know. So it's a nice walk, you know, a nice view. You're looking down all over, say into Currafin, Beclare, and down Corndulla to the back way to Carlow Strand. It's a top class spot.
It is a class spot. Yeah. Time frame then, when obviously, is it the same idea that people have to book their place?
No, I suppose what we've done is, I suppose I've been promoting to my Facebook page and we have the donate as well. It's between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. on the start of the 2nd. So come as you're free, as you want, you know, really. So it's, and just do it, you know, it's do it once, do it twice, do it 3 times, whatever you want. And I suppose on the day we have an ice cream van there, he'll provide teas and coffees and ice creams, whatever you want, say, when you come down. And if people want to have an ice cream or a cup of coffee, they can if they want to go home. So be it, you know. And there'll be buckets there on the day if people want to contribute or donate.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. And the Facebook page then for that, for people to get the links and all that, are up on your Facebook
page. Barry McCabe, and I suppose probably later this week, again, I've been in contact with Charlie himself, and obviously his speech is going. So he sent me a video about 2 weeks ago. So that was shared on Facebook and it got good hits and good likes, you know. So he's another one to share for this week, so that'll be on this week. So hopefully that'll get the final push, you know, for Saturday week, you know.
Yeah. He's something else, Charlie Bird. I was just reading, obviously, on the 13th of March, one of his, as he called it, his dying wish, and I'm sure you've read this as well. I have one wish, and this is from the heart, that the peace process continues. He's not thinking of himself at all. I don't like the phrase, let us not go back to the bad old days, myself, but it is my death wish that our commitment to the peace process continues. Well. First of all, I want to wish you both the very best and thank you for taking the time and enlightening us with all the information, because it's not easy. Speaking about people that are no longer with us, who have passed on from a dreadful disease, is not easy. and I do wish you the best. So all the crew up in Slievaughty on the 2nd of April and all the crew in Knockmah on the 2nd of April. As I said, I'm hoping to be at both of them. I was speaking in the radio station and we were talking about how I might just float from one to the other and do a few links and have a chat with the... I might grab you on the day and have a chat about it as well. So donate. So as you said, Barry, all the donation situations are up on your Facebook page. And before you go, actually, tell us about the buckets. This just shows a small little bit of determination. Where did you get the buckets for the raising money?
Well, I suppose I was talking to Jimmy Watts and Jackie Martin in Morton Urine in Dublin. I suppose if they had to issue buckets to every climb, like there's 150 odd climbs, so given all them tin buckets and with postage and everything, it cost me a fortune with t-shirts. So just went on to Amazon, got 10 buckets for say €35, downloaded the link, a bit of copy and pasting and laminating and just stick it on the bucket and off you go, you know.
There you go, that's dedication.
So there's no...
That really is
no,
dedication.
No cost, you know.
Well, I wish you both the very best. Carly, you just want to tell us something?
Yeah, just to say our walk is going to be a little bit different. We're all walking together at 12 o'clock, so everyone needs to be there 11, half past 11. There'll be plenty of parking, plenty of marshals, plenty of people direct where to go. Again, we'll have buckets and stuff like that. So the walk will start at 12. We'll all walk together. There'll be a 5k and a 9k, and on the top of the 5k and the 9k also we've been sponsored a fantastic billboard. If you ever climb Crowpatrick, and there's a sign of Crowpatrick, the most beautiful view of the holiest mountain of Ireland. Well, on the top of the 5k and 9k is going to be I walked with Charlie Slievaughty, and people have an opportunity to take a photograph and even sign it, and we're going to take a photo and send it off to Charlie and to him.
Great stuff, absolutely. And I just want to acknowledge as well Vicky Phelan while we're here, because Vicky was determined to do the climb, but unfortunately health reasons she's not able to do the climb. But we're very much thinking about her today, and thinking about her of course on the 2nd of April as well. And before I finish up, I made contact with the Irish Motor Neuron Association this morning. What a lovely bunch of people. Wow. And I just asked them a couple of questions pretty much about, you know, what was the situation and all that. And they said they are just completely overwhelmed and thankful for the amount of support. And from that Friday night on the Late Late Show, they couldn't believe the influx of love and everything else and support and monetary contributions and everything else. So I just want to acknowledge the gang there as well today. Thank you both for taking the time. Thank you very much indeed to Kieran Cannon, who was on the phone with us a little earlier on. I do wish you the best on your climbs as well, and all the success in the future. And thanks so much for taking the time for having a chat with me today.
And thank you.
Thanks, Ronan.
Not at all. Thank you.
Party, this is my message for everyone and always.
A big thank you to all who will walk with me at Slievaughty at 12 noon on the 2nd of April. I am overwhelmed with your support, and thank you for your donations for Motor Neuron and Pieta. I hope the weather will be kind to us and you enjoy the fantastic views from Slievaughty. Thank you. Stay safe. Charlie. Hi folks. To the people of Cannanestrain and North Galway, well done on raising €10,000 so far for Climb with Charlie. Another powerful gesture of extending the hand of friendship. I'm giving you one final rallying call to support Barry McCabe on his walk for the Motor Neuron Association at Pitt at Knockmah Hill on Saturday, April the 2nd from 11 in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Come on the Queelies. Thanks, Charlie.
Hey, bye-bye.
If you would like to join the climb or donate, get onto the Climb with Charlie Slievaughty and Barry McCabe's Facebook page.